This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're joined now by Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, our Steelers insider, brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity. We'll see if he can improve the quality of today's radio program. Here's how I got out of the last segment.
I wish my parents were flight attendants growing up.
Because that has everything to do with
it. Well, I'm sure I love traveling, but I hate traveling, if you catch what I'm picking down.
Colossal boob, Adam Crowley. We got Doran Dickerson across from me, and now Ray Fittipaldo on the fan hotline. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We are excellent. Yes.
Great.
We are great. Are the Steelers going to trade for Cooper Kupp?
Listen, this contract is different from Devontae Adams. There's actually, you know, some roster bonuses that would have to be, you know, considered for whichever team acquired him. I understand the Rams would be picking up some of the salary from this season, but there's an awful lot left on that for next season and the year after, to be honest with you. So if they would do it, I think you would do it for a fourth or a fifth. You guys saw Hopkins got traded this morning for a fourth or a fifth. Kupp would be a rental. So unless they decided to do a sign and a trade for a rental, I wouldn't give up a second for sure.
Through seven games, Ray, has George Pickens convinced you that he's a number one wide receiver?
No, he was much better in this past game. Obviously, a big beneficiary of Russell Wilson and that deep ball. I think, you know, we can expect that to, you know, if not be the norm, I think we could expect to see a lot more of that now. But, George has some baggage. I think being on good behavior has to happen for more than 1 or 2 weeks. So I'm still sort of wait and see there. I think he certainly has the potential to be. But as I'm sitting here right now, if you're asking me if I would commit $25 million to him over a new four-year contract, my answer would probably be no.
George Pickens, real quick, now eighth in the league among receivers in receiving yards.
No.
Real quick. Nice game with Russell Wilson at the helm. Ray, if the Steelers don't add to this receiver room, what is their ceiling? What is their ceiling if they do add a receiver? And part three of this long-winded question, who are some other names if they're not going to wind up with Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, well, I mean, Hopkins just went off the board, so that list is dwindling. I think their ceiling, as they stand right now, you know, if they get to 6-2, I think they have a chance to go to 11-6. I think even with the second half of the schedule, 11-6 is probably what, four seed, five seed, depending on whether you win your division. I think that's probably their ceiling without adding. Let's say they add Cooper Kupp, and he's a big difference maker. I could see them maybe going 13-5, and then you're talking about maybe being, a two or a three seed. So, again, I don't know that that's in play, but I think we all know that there's another level for this offense. We saw that with Russ in a one-game sample. I think if you add another receiver, like a Kupp or somebody else, I think certainly the offense could get much better, and you wouldn't have to play as many close games.
Ray, I'm going to say the coach's name, and I want you to give me a grade, all right? Mike Tomlin.
I'll go B.
Arthur Smith.
B+.
Terrell Austin.
A-.
Danny Smith.
A+.
Should Mike Tomlin be in consideration of Coach of the Year right now?
Yeah, I think so. For navigating the first six games with your backup quarterback after your starter gets injured in camp. And just look at not just that injury, Doran, but look at what this offensive line has gone through. Look at what this secondary has gone through. You know, I wrote about this a little bit yesterday, the different approach that they've taken in developing these young players. You know, we've seen Beanie Bishop develop before our eyes, you know, with Cam Sutton out. They had the same plan with Corey Trice. Unfortunately, Corey got injured. So, I think Mike is always changing. He's always trying to better himself as a coach. I don't know that, you know, he's going to be the coach of the year, but I find it funny in what, 18 years now, he's never won it. I think certainly one of these years, I think he's probably going to win it.
Ray Fittipaldo joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, which is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Okay, so the Steelers have been running the ball. They're ninth best in the league at that. Najee Harris, two straight games with over 100 yards rushing. Do you think if he keeps this up that he'll be a Steeler next year, or is this exactly how they've envisioned this? You light the fire under his feet, and he was going to sing for his supper a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been really good the last couple of games. You know, I would say up and down season. I think early in the season, maybe, you know, we were questioning his field vision a little bit, his decisiveness. I still think sometimes there's a little too much hesitation or dancing in the hole before he hits it. Those are all valid criticisms, but I think for the most part, this guy is durable. He's always available, and he's going to play hard for you. So I don't know if the Steelers are going to want to do business with him in January. I think if they do, it's obviously going to be at less than the $6.7 million they were going to pay him on the fifth-year option. And really the unanswered question that we still have, their reason for not picking up the option was his fit in Arthur Smith's offense. And to this point in the season, I still can't give you an answer on that. I think, again, he's looked good at times, not good at other times. You know, it could be that Arthur has a specific back that he's looking for, and it just might not be a back like Najee Harris. It's no, you know, it's no crack at Najee. It's just like he might want a different type of a back in his system.
Ray, do you feel like that this is a two-team race for the AFC North at this point, or do you think that the Bengals are still capable?
I think the Bengals are still capable of making noise, but I don't consider them to be in the race to win the division. So, in other words, I think the Bengals can still get to like 9-8 and 10-7, get into the playoffs, maybe even knock the Ravens or the Steelers down a peg. But that start that they had, I don't think the division is in play for them. But I still do think they can be a factor in the AFC.
Do you think, I'll rephrase this, do you feel better about the Steelers' chances of winning a playoff game now than you did before they entered the season?
Before Sunday night, yeah, because of what Russ brings. You know, I think, you know, we saw the passing game unlocked a little bit. It looked like an NFL offense to me, and that's no slight at Justin Fields, but it kind of reminded me of what we had when Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback, right? A guy who had command, had presence back there, could change plays, would take shots one-on-one down the field. And, you know, I just think with Justin, we never really, you know, the Steelers never really looked quite like they did when Ben was the quarterback. And I'm not trying to draw comparisons between Ben and Russell, but they are similar types of quarterbacks, pro-style quarterbacks who came up in this league a certain way. And when you have quarterbacks like Justin who were maybe brought up in different systems, and we all know what the influence of the college game has had on the league, but you know, Russ is part of a dying breed. And I think as long as you run a pro style offense, I think a quarterback like Russ can really be a big benefit to an offense.
Ray, this was very good. As always, we appreciate your time and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you.
Thanks, Ray.
See you. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette says with Cooper Kupp, they could win 13 games.
I believe that.
If that's the case, then yeah, you give up a second. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Because if you win 13 games, I think you're winning the division. And people point out the Steelers' flaws all the time. And I get it. The offense is, what, 16th in the league in points, which is dead average. The Ravens have by far the best offense going in the NFL right now, them and the Lions. People don't seem to care that the Ravens' defense is a disaster.
Right.
And I don't understand why we can't point out their flaws. They give up leads in the second half all the time.
The Steelers, meanwhile, are one of the best second-half teams in the NFL. If you really think that Cooper Kupp gets you to the 13-win mark, then yeah, you go get him.
I do, and I don't even hesitate saying it.
You didn't even stutter.
Don't even stutter.
I want to get into your question of Ray coming up in the next segment. Grading of Arthur Smith here through seven games. He gave him, what, a B+? I might go higher than that, and I don't think that that's going to be popular. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll react to more of what Ray had to say. Here's a text at 412-928-9370, Doran. It's brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 100% safer in a plane, Crowley. I don't know anybody that's ever been in a plane crash. However, I do know a family that had their house crashed into by a plane.
Ooh.
Think about that while sitting on the couch tonight. I was actually thinking about this last night. We live in a corridor where planes take off. And I was like, freaks me out.
The odds of that happening.
Slim.
Very slim.
But this guy said it happened to his friend. I need a link, or I ain't buying it.
You do not want to look into that link. Trust me.
Good point by you. Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Would you give up a second round pick for Cooper Kupp? LA is shipping him. Would you do it? 412-928-9370. Breaking NFL news, Doran. More of it. So earlier, about 6:45 a.m., DeAndre Hopkins gets traded from the Titans to the Chiefs for a conditional fourth round pick. Thus, we would think taking them out of the Cooper Kupp sweepstakes. Now, the same person who reported that Cooper Kupp could be on the move, at least he's being shopped, Diana Russini, now reports that Jameis Winston will be starting for the Browns on Sunday. I wonder if they'll beat the Bengals with Jameis. I think they got all kinds of problems. They just played the Bengals. What am I talking about? The Ravens. No. They're not going to beat them.
No, they're not.
They're not going to beat them.
No.
I do think Jameis gives them a better chance of winning football games than does Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I bet you by the time the Steelers play him a couple of times, it's DTR, though. I think this is a move only to help veterans. They got a veteran-laden roster. They don't want to totally wave the white flag, even though reportedly they're taking calls on Myles Garrett. They've already moved on from Amari Cooper. I think you got to show the vets we're still trying, at least for now. Then you lose a couple of games, you go to DTR. And let me tell you, that guy looked awful on Sunday.
Didn't he get hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, he got hurt. So it'll be Jameis Winston this Sunday for the Cleveland Brownies. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You asked Ray Fittipaldo last segment what grade he would give Arthur Smith through seven games. And he said B+. What would you say?
A. Having to deal with the quarterback situation. Using Fields in the best way possible. Kind of protecting him a little bit, but at the same time letting him do the things that he does well at times. Not forcing him to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer. And rebuilding Fields' confidence, you know, throughout the first six games for him to go out there and have a successful record. And then, in a way, changing the offense to adhere to Russell Wilson for the game on Sunday night. I mean, the offense was different. They ran a lot of boots. They ran a lot of things. They had a lot of checks at the line. A lot of guys got incorporated within the offense. You know, using Najee Harris the right way whenever Jaylen Warren was out, whenever he was hurt, whenever Cordell Patterson was hurt, and then infusing Jaylen Warren back in the lineup, having a different offensive line structure almost every single game, having a rookie center and then a first starting center of his career in McCollum, not having your rookie right tackle that you wanted to start in the beginning of the year, not having your, you know, Pro Bowl-ish guard for most of the year who got hurt in James Daniels, having the receiving core that you have. Like, I mean, I can go through the list. That's why.
And you did. I can't disagree with any of that. Like, what would this offense look like, seriously, if they had Russell Wilson all year, if they were playing their preferred offensive lineman and weren't dealing with the injury concerns there, if they had a healthy running back room? Because what they've done now as an offense, what he's helped engineer as the offensive coordinator, is they're 16th in the league in scoring, which isn't great. It's exactly average, but that is a significant step from where they've been the last 2 years. Night and day. Last two games, they're averaging 34.5 points a game. Last three games, they're averaging 28.5 points per game. They have the eighth best running back in football by yardage. That's Najee Harris. They have the eighth best receiver in football by yardage in George Pickens. If I would have told anybody coming into the season that the Steelers would be 16th in points per game and have a top 10 receiver and a top 10 running back, I think everyone would have signed up for it without any of the injury qualifiers, without understanding that they played the quarterback that they rather would have not played through the first six games and went 4-2 with that guy and did it differently in a couple of games. I think he's done a great job, and I think reasonable people can say it's only going to get better from here. Can they be a top 10 offense by the end of the year? My answer to that is no, unless they get a wide receiver. But if they get another wide receiver, if they get a Slayton or a Ridley or a Cooper Kupp or a Mike Williams to a lesser extent, could they finish near the top 10 in the league in points per game? I think they might be able to, man. And I want to latch on to one more point that Ray made at the end of our conversation with him. He said he was reminded by late stage Ben by Russell Wilson. And hey, look, it was one game. But in that game, I actually think Russell looked better than Ben did his final year because he could move.
Mm-hmm.
He's not moving like Justin Fields, never was going to. But you and I, we sang this song chapter and verse as I mix analogies here. Like, he's not mobile, but he's not immobile. Ben couldn't move at all. What were they doing with Ben? They were getting the ball out of his hand in 2.5 seconds. Ben, late in his career, looked like Rodgers did in that game.
Yeah.
Rodgers still has arm strength. I don't think Rodgers can move, and I think he's a little shaky now because he doesn't want to get hurt. He knows he can't protect himself. So they got rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. The Steelers caught on to that and were sticking their hands up. That's what Ben was at the end. Russell held the ball for 3 seconds. Play action. Ben didn't want to do play action, and he got rid of it quick. Russell's holding on to it and taking shots down the field. I think they've got potential to be close to a top 10 offense if they had a receiver. And I think Arthur Smith's done a good job. Some of the toss stuff drives me nuts. Some of the running on second down and long drives me nuts. But I can't argue with the production now of this offense.
I think that Russ shocked a lot of people by his movement in the pocket, like you're saying. I mean, there was one play that was posted on Twitter yesterday where he hit Pat Freiermuth on that shallow cross. And what he did in the pocket, you know, he has back turned towards the defense, and then he turns around, and then there was a rusher right in his face. He kind of slid to the right a little bit and then kind of corked the ball. Like, I don't think people expected that from Russ. And that's what he does. Like, that's what he is actually good at. He's not going to get you, 40 yards rushing a game, but those little things, those little movements in the pocket, those are dynamite. I mean, that's the reason why Pat Freiermuth was able to even get open, and the throw was on point, is because he was able to shuffle and move his feet and get his eyes down the field and find Freiermuth. Those are the little things that people don't take in effect with Russell Wilson. I believe that they can be a top 10 offense. I mean, they may not win every single game, but if they can score 28 points and if they lose, they're still going to be scoring more points a game.
I mean,
you move forward.
Yeah, dude, we looked at it yesterday. Top 10 scoring offense last year would have had them 26 points per game. They just need to average 3 more points a game. I think that's possible.
Yeah.
You got a kicker that doesn't miss, too, by the way, which helps. I think you're better in the return game, thus setting you up in better field position. They're a complimentary football team right now. And look, I'm not saying they're the best team in the AFC, anything like that, but they've been way more productive offensively than they have the last 2 years, and they've dealt with a lot of adversity. They have. So I don't think you really have to go out on a limb saying they could be 3 points per game better. And if they are with this defense, okay, then at that point, I can consider them one of the top teams in the AFC. Here's a text. Crowley, years ago, my aunt was up in the morning, made oatmeal in the microwave. While the oatmeal was cooking, she was on her couch watching the morning news. Microwave timer went off. She got up to retrieve her breakfast. A car wrecked into her living room, took out the couch she was sitting on. She now has the microwave door from that microwave framed and hanging in her house. She credits it for saving her life.
There you go.
So I'm just not safe anywhere.
No.
Very good. All right, coming up next, we'll go around the NFL, sponsored by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. There's so much going on around the NFL right now that
We might as well take two segments to go around the NFL, Doran. What say you?
Yes.
Let's do it. Presented by Champ Tires, all brands in every size. DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Kansas City Chiefs from the Tennessee Titans for a conditional fourth round pick. That leaves Darius Slayton, perhaps. We'll see him on Monday. Calvin Ridley is an option. Mike Williams as an option. And, of course, the big one, Cooper Kupp. Diana Russini of The Athletic reporting that the Rams are calling teams gauging interest on Kupp, and they're asking price as a second-round pick, and they would consider taking on some of the salary, or I guess eating some of the salary. Doran said he'd do it for a second. Ray Fittipaldo says the Steelers could be a 13-win team with Cooper Kupp. I say, it's rich for me for a guy that's been hurt in each of the last three seasons. Played 23 out of 41 games. Still good when healthy.
Yes.
Played two games this year, 28 targets, up over 150 yards. He has doubled up the production of Van Jefferson in just two games. Van has played all seven games this season. Someone texts him, hey guys, how about this offer to the Rams? Third round pick, and if Kupp plays a snap in a playoff game for the Steelers, it becomes a second. Yeah.
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 That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. I'm down.
I like that a lot.
I would do that. I don't know that he gets them to 13 wins. They do have a tough schedule. I do think he gives them a shot at that. I do think he lifts the ceiling. You can spare me the he's a slot receiver BS. He is. Okay, fair. So is Calvin Austin. He plays 34 snaps a game. Their number one wide receiver, Pickens, plays 49 snaps a game. Feel like you can find a way to bridge that gap.
Yes.
Feel like you can get him some of the Van Jefferson snaps when you are in two wide receiver sets. So I would do it. We both are higher, I think, on Arthur Smith than our other folks out there. So you go get a good player and you find out how to use him.
Mm-hmm.
Other NFL news. Jameis Winston going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns this weekend.
They still stink.
They are terrible. Their only option wasn't their only issue, I should say, wasn't Deshaun Watson. He stunk, was, for my money, the worst quarterback in the NFL. Going into the game on Sunday, had been sacked 31 times. Now, he holds on to the ball forever. Guys aren't open. Now they don't have Amari Cooper, so fewer guys are open. That's part of it. He wasn't the only problem.
No.
Jameis gives them a better chance to win. I bet you by the time the Steelers see them later on in the season, we're going to be seeing some DTR. Did you see Baker Mayfield toss a zin in on the sideline, Doran?
I sure did.
How many guys in the league do you think are doing that?
That have zins?
Yeah.
Probably half the league.
You think so?
Yeah, because I know that, I mean, there was a lot of guys that used to just do regular chew, and I'm sure that it's easier to play or practice or have zins in meetings. Yeah, I have 40%.
Would you play with a zin?
There's no doubt.
Would you ever play with a chew-in back in the day?
Yes, in practice.
In practice? Every practice?
No, sometimes. Like whenever it was an easier practice, say like a walk-through or a jog-through or a Friday practice, yes, I would have a chew-in.
That's the second zin reference this year. We got one with Arthur Smith.
Yep.
Whose zin fell out. He was gushing over Justin Fields, and now you've got Baker Mayfield popping one in on the sideline.
Didn't the kicker for Atlanta take a zin from a fan?
Coup?
Yeah. I think maybe last year. I mean, that might have been last year. He like reached in the stands or something, and he like popped a zin. Something like that. Yeah, that definitely happened.
That did happen. I saw it went viral. Someone tossed him a whole can, I think.
I think so, yeah.
By the way, I want some points for knowing that the Atlanta kicker's name was Young Ho Koo.
Why do you want points? It's not a normal name.
I think my kicker knowledge is great.
Who's the kicker for? Who's the kicker
don't play
for
the
Cowboys?
Oh, he was just here.
Exactly.
I don't remember.
Exactly. Exactly.
I shouldn't have said I know kickers. I know one. I know Atlanta's kicker.
You know two.
Chris Boswell.
Yes.
Justin Tucker.
Yes.
Cade York.
Yes.
I don't want to name any more kickers.
Okay.
How about Aaron Rodgers goes on yesterday with Pat McAfee? And McAfee, to his credit, brought up the Beanie Bishop after the game, said that he wanted to get both of those footballs signed by Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers said he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is me being the old school Crowley again, Doran.
Oh, stop
I don't like it.
It.
I don't like it in season. I don't like the idea of a guy loses a game by 22 points. The reason the game turned around is because he threw an interception to an undrafted rookie free agent. Now he says he's going to sign the football for him. Do it after the year. I'm sure he will do it after. Don't say yes now. You're a competitor. You threw two balls to Beanie Bishop, who to that point was by far the weakest link in the Steelers.
But isn't that
defense.
A part of being a competitor and being a professional is acknowledging whenever somebody did something very well, especially a young player?
A tip of the cap, you're saying?
Yes. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's like, you know what? You did pick me off twice. You're the first Steeler to ever pick me off, actually, and then you were the second Steeler to ever pick me off. I'm going to sign a couple footballs for you, young man.
All right,
good job.
You've convinced me.
Yeah.
It absolutely makes sense that Beanie wants that.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell. Huh. Did you see Rodgers pick his nose?
Yes, need it.
You ever eaten a booger?
Probably when I was little.
Definitely.
Yes.
Callis, you ever eaten a booger?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you do it now?
No.
Yeah, he did. When we went out to breakfast that one time and it fell out of his nose,
big
and he started eating the eggs. It fell into his eggs. He started eating the eggs.
He did. He did one of those snot rockets.
Oh.
Yeah. And we don't know where it landed. And he had an omelet sitting there.
Did you do that at the table?
You did do it at the table. It was one of the grosser things I've ever seen.
Ever.
I've eaten a booger. I think everyone listening to this show has eaten a booger at some point in their lives. I told you this before. I pick my nose. I get out of here. You're dry. You're talking for 4.5 hours. The second I make the turn and start heading up Green Tree Road and there's not a car around, I'm wrist deep up there. I'm not afraid to admit it, man. I'm a big-time nose picker. I'm not even a casual nose picker. I look forward to it. And in fact, my nose is screaming at me right now. It's a little dry. I cannot wait to get into my car.
You're sick.
You do it too.
You're sick.
You pick your nose now.
Well, I don't talk about it. Like it's like some fun activity.
It's great.
Do you think people want to hear that right now?
I don't know. Probably not. Do you pick your nose 412-928-9370?
Makes me even more grossed out to be in your car now, though.
That's fair.
There's already trash all over the ground.
Someone texted in, forget Mike Williams, the Steelers should try to trade for Garrett Wilson. Now, why in the world would the Jets do that? They're dumb. We can agree on that.
Yep.
But they're not trading Garrett Wilson. Not now. Texter, Zins are half-step and put a chew in like a man. No, I don't want the cancer. I'm sure we'll find out years from now. They'll do some research that Zin's no good, but we know already chew bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. More around the NFL stuff when we come back. Who are some other receivers the Steelers could be interested in? Then we've got our guy, Doug Whaley, from 9 o'clock until 10 on a Wednesday, or as we call it, a weekend with Doug Whaley. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. A texter brings up Jacoby Myers as another possible target for the Steelers at the wide receiver position, Doran.
He's not bad.
I hate where I am on all this wide receiver stuff. Like, I'm not quite willing to go second-round pick for the best of the bunch in Cooper Kupp. None of these other guys really excite you, but you're not building an all-star team here. You just need an upgrade. And I do think Jacoby Myers would be a significant upgrade over Van Jefferson. Calvin Ridley would be an upgrade. Darius Slayton would be an upgrade. Mike Williams would be an upgrade. But if you can get Amari for a fourth...
You did it again.
I know, I keep doing it. I keep getting sucked right back in.
You did it again.
Speaking of wide receivers, Pitt to honor a great tomorrow night in Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Number one coming back. Should have been the Heisman Trophy winner in 2003. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes. I've had opportunity to train with Larry and just to watch him on a day-to-day basis back whenever I was playing. And you can see why he was so great, like on a day-to-day basis. Just like everything he did was just 100%.
Got a good head on his shoulders, too.
Yes.
A gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the Steelers were going to lose Super Bowl 43 when he split the defense. And I still think to this day, if Lamar Woodley doesn't force a fumble on the final offensive play of the game for Arizona, a Hail Mary into the end zone, Larry Fitzgerald's coming down with that football.
Probably.
He was unbelievable. unstoppable. And then a couple of years later with Kurt Warner, or not with Kurt Warner, with
Palmer.
Carson Palmer, thank you. He would just lob it up. He just plucked the thing right out of the sky. He's unbelievable. But back to his time at Pitt. So his final season, played 2 years. This is a sophomore. Darn near 1,700 yards, 18 yards a catch. Wow. 22 touchdowns, 130 yards a game. And Ron Cook voted for the other guy.
Of course.
Jason White that season, 35 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions. No, excuse me, that was his final year. 40 touchdowns, 10 picks, completion percentage of 61.6. I mean, we see that all the time in college football these days. The last receiver since then to win the Heisman was Devonta Smith with Alabama in 2020. Couple things. He was a senior. He had 1,800 yards, one more touchdown than Larry Fitzgerald, but fewer yards per catch, and he had 14 more yards per game than Larry Fitzgerald. But again, he did it as a senior. He did it for Alabama.
Larry fell product to the brand and losing out to the brand.
No doubt.
Oklahoma at the time. I believe they won the national championship that year, right?
Well, and they won it before. They won it in 2000, I want to say. Okay. I might be wrong.
Maybe Miami?
Was that the Miami-Ohio State year?
I think so. 2003?
Mm-hmm. No, 2001 was Miami. Ohio State in 2002. LSU and Southern Cal split it, remember, in 03. Oklahoma won it in 2000.
Okay.
But they were a brand, and they were fun. They were air raid. They're throwing it all over the place. Mike Leach, all that fun stuff. Okay. Larry Fitzgerald was a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And for Larry, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame guy. So when I looked up his stats, you have to type in Larry Fitzgerald college stats. If you want Jason White stats, you just got to type in Jason White stats.
Correct.
Because he didn't do anything in the NFL. Texter, where's the name Christian Kirk? Wood?
Yes.
I think they're going to get a guy. Because we've just named now 5 receivers. And how many teams need a receiver right now? The Chargers, their receiving room stinks, so I would put them on the list. I've heard the Ravens, but they only have $4 million in cap space, and seriously, they're averaging 40 points a game anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how serious they are. The Chiefs, you scratch them off the list. Perhaps Tampa, with their 2 recent receiver injuries, and then I guess the 49ers, but...
Saints, maybe.
But I think they're out of it. I think they have to realize that team sucks.
They are bad.
And Spencer Rattler, he threw a ball backwards. Like, they can't. They can't believe they're in it. So, what? Maybe 4 teams still need a receiver, and we've named 5 or 6 receivers. Someone's going to be available for the Steelers. Caboli said it when we had him in on Monday. He thinks they'll get a guy. Ray said the same thing. So, it'll happen. The question is who? And we'll talk to Doug Whaley about that coming up next. He joins us for a full hour. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado, 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, a high of 75.